Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Loading, loading, strapped with the lyrics like I'm bowling, bowling. Pushing on, keep rolling, rolling. Hello when they listen, but I told him one more time. Your favorite MC's bronze or silver. These raps here are golden, golden. Cards on the table, there's no folders. Spit bars at the club, zoning, zoning. TikTok come to London, get ripped off. Man, get pissed off when I start lift off. Sweet like flavors, cookie and biscuit. Planted, yeah, the bars, I get ripped off. Picked up my song, yo, every time I tripped off. Little petty, kept the big rock. Me and my G's, two bands, rap, mix up. Full circle, that everybody's in top. That's irrelevant, memory like an elephant. Keep it hard, but you know that it's elegant. Get mad, but always benevolent. Always moving up, just leveling. Constantly telling and rhyming, riddling. Cycle through these streets, I'm peddling. Hibernating and boom, she's back again. Oh, cause a little fire on the track again. Turn the music up, vibe like an icon. Icon, icon. Yeah, if you want buff, we can go psycho. Psycho, psycho. Head to head, bar to bar. Turn the mic on, mic on, mic on. Turn the music up, vibe like an icon. Icon, icon. Yeah, I don't mind, I'll do it for the hell of it, yeah. Elevate bars, I regulate, yeah. UK, wheel up the tune, just meditate. If it didn't get it by now, then it kinda late. Man thinks he's a bad man, but he's kinda baiting for every day like it's my last. Celebrate, mind on the task, we calibrate. Loading, loading, strapped with the lyrics like I'm bowling, bowling. Keep pushing on, keep rolling, rolling. Didn't wanna listen, but I told him one more time, your favorite MC's bronze or silver. Too bad these vibes here are golden. Cards on the table, there's no folding. Spit more than I can't zone it, zone it. That's irrelevant, memory like an elephant. Keep it hard, but you know that it's elegant. Get mad, but always benevolent. Always moving up, just leveling. Constantly telling them, rhyming, riddling. Cycle through these streets, I'm peddling. Hibernating them, boom, she's back again. Oh, cause a little fire on the track again.
Yes, guys, I'm Si. Welcome to Ace Podcast Nation. Welcome to the Cardiff City Fan Show. We are online this week and for the next few weeks instead of the Rum and Tavern, but that will not slow us down as we talk all things Cardiff City. And I'm delighted this evening to be joined by journalist, EFL football man, transfer guru, whatever you want to call him, I suppose. But it's Mr. Darren Whitcoop. How are you, my friend?
Hi, thanks for having me on.
No, it's all good. Really looking forward to having a chat. Obviously, I've seen you on Twitter a lot. You must be constantly glued to it, or Twitter or X, as it's called now. But you seem to be like constant transfer updates and whatnot. Not just about Cardiff, but the EFL generally. You must spend your life on your phone, mate. I was assuming.
I try not to, but I do get when you get these messages through saying you've use 28% more this week on your phone than last week or something. You think, oh, blimmin' hell, I've got to cut back on this. But, you just get so used to it, don't you, really? It's probably not very healthy, the amount of phone usage. But, yeah, I suppose this is the time of year, really, when sort of December, January, it sort of ramps up transfer wise, and it will go quiet again after that, and then again for the summer. So yes, busy time coming up, really.
Yes, I mean, it's going to be an insane window, I suppose, for you, particularly because you do cover a lot of sort of, or you post about and you talk about Cardiff transfers quite a lot. Obviously, with this being the first window in a while where the transfer embargo is lifted, that means you'd think that there's going to be a bit more rumours and action and things discussed with relation to Cardiff City. Do you anticipate it being, you know, from a rumours point of view, I guess, and things that you will hear, do you think that it'll be a bit busier than perhaps the last few windows have been?
Yeah, the last with Cardiff, it's been a strange one, because obviously in the summer, going back under Steve Morrison, it was a lot of transfers, but obviously under the embargo, so a lot of freeze, a lot of players offered to the club, a lot of they turned down, some they accepted, some they wanted, some they didn't. Obviously in the summer, it was not so chaotic. It was a bit more quality than quantity, I think, in the summer. And I think in January, you'll see, I think, three or four outgoings as well as three or four incomings as well, because they have to balance the books nowadays. You can't just sign players because the FFP situation, really, which adheres to all the EFL as well. So I think you'll see some fringe players going who they try to shift in January, who it's quite clear, really, the players who aren't playing who will probably be on their way. And obviously, there's three or four players they want in, and I think there's a few names people mentioned. Yeah, we'll have to see what happens, really. But it's clear that the new signing is needed. The squad looks tired and needs freshening up, for sure.
Yeah, they definitely look, particularly this last month or so, they've looked, probably since the Bristol game, looked pretty fatigued, the majority of them, I've got to be honest. And I think that probably comes down to a lot of, you know, the depth side of things, because, for instance, the back sort of five, I think, have played pretty much every game. It's very rare that he changes them. But that has an impact as the season goes on. What sort of things have you heard in terms of the type of players that they'd like to get in January?
Well, I think it's been, the manager's made it quite clear he wants offensive players. So at number nine, and I think everybody knows Kiefer Moore was one they wanted in September before deadline, didn't happen. And obviously it sounds like it is going to happen. All the noises are that it's been agreed. And I think it has been agreed. Obviously, nothing's been announced yet. There's a couple other players mentioned from overseas, and that makes it actually covering Cardiff a bit harder nowadays, because before they used to deal with a lot of British players, so you sort of got a wind of who it was and they might be chasing. Now there's some players plucked from, like Gutas, who came out of nowhere, really, all these sort of players he brought in the summer, some of his connections, who have done really well. And I think you'll see a couple more of them as well. And there'll be a couple of other names we probably haven't heard of. So I think there'll be maybe two players from the Football League, I think, I'm hearing. The Football League from the British League, I may add, sorry. So obviously Kiefer Moore is one they're actively trying and are close to sorting. And obviously there's another player as well, midfielder, I believe, been told about, who they are chasing from a Premier League club. Whether that will happen, you know, I don't know. I can't say names at the moment because I won't be allowed to. But I know that they are trying to get someone in from a Premier League club as well as overseas. I think it's two midfielders they're trying to get, a striker and obviously a left back. I think pretty much everyone knows. And more pace out wide is what I think everybody wants. And I think the manager's listening. He knows more than we do. He can see that squad. I mean, I don't get to watch as many games as I like, but I watched the on TV the Birmingham game and the West Brom game. And they were pretty similar in one way, really, where they didn't look like scoring Cardiff, and Birmingham should have won that game comfortably. West Brom was a bit tighter, but they looked so poor against Birmingham. From the first minute, anyone watching that game, you sort of thought, oh, it doesn't look good, because they were quicker to the ball. They seemed to have more energy and seemed to want it more. And Cardiff were so poor all night. I can't remember making their goal, apart from the Gutas header, wasn't it? I think Ruddy made a really good save. Apart from that, it was barely anything. And West Brom was similar, really. It was all sort of played in front of defence. There was no one running behind, no one looking to get the foot on the ball. And they were sort of relying on set pieces a lot. And I think it's come down to that at the moment, which is thankfully they're actually strong at set pieces. I think they're best in division, because last year they were the worst in division. So yeah, at least they got that
they've gone
back
completely.
Off. Yeah, it's... which has gone back the old Cardiff way, which they used to be dominant at corners and free kicks, which is what, you know, I always think is a really important issue in the Championship, because, you know, it opens up the game then. How many times you score a goal from a set piece and then more space opens. But yeah, so regarding transfers, four or five in, four or five out, I think, is pretty much what they're looking at.
Yeah, the couple of things I'd like to sort of pick your brain on regarding transfers, which have really interested me. So the day before Psyopis was officially announced, everybody knew he was in Cardiff doing a medical, you know, it's social media these days, people see them. And when the manager was asked about it, he said, oh, I can't talk about, you know, other clubs' players or something like that. Whereas recently we've seen him talking about Kiefer Moore very, very openly. Now, I've said before on the shows, I had heard that Cardiff were very close to getting Kiefer Moore in the summer. And I think it was a Millwall striker, maybe, who was supposed to be going to Bournemouth, and it sort of fell through at the last minute, which meant Bournemouth weren't willing to release him.
From Leicester, who was meant to go to Bournemouth. But
Leicester,
it was
not Millwall.
It's so late, isn't it? And it from
I was just interested in. So I've had a couple of people watch, because I've mentioned this before, and I said, is he talking about Kiefer Moore so openly because he's then going to go and sign someone, you know, out of the blue who he hasn't talked about, almost like a bit of a smokescreen? Or, as some people pointed out in the comments previously, is it just that Cardiff are very confident and, you know, the Kiefer Moore deal is probably done in some fashion, and that's why he's so comfortable? Because it's a bit of a difference to how he treated the Psyopis one.
Yeah, I think if you look back to the summer of Ramsey, some people, including myself, knew it was happening. Club were quite keen to keep it quiet. Mm. So nobody said anything because we were told not to. Mm. And so I think people knew that was happening a while before it did happen. And similar with Kiefer Moore, but that's what we've gone on for a few months now. But I think it's quite clear with Kiefer Moore that Cardiff.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Still, there's still some deal, I believe, on the structure of the deal when they sold him. They still owed some money. Obviously, Cardiff now will have no embargo and they can also pay fees. So obviously, they're a stronger hand now than they were in September. Kiefer Moore is still really good friends with a lot of the players of the club. And I think a big thing, from what I was told, is he wants to play in front of the fans. He barely played in front of the fans because of COVID. And it's just not worked out for him at Birmingham. I mean, at Bournemouth. I mean, he's done, just the manager wants someone quicker and more mobile, which is just fair enough. You know, every manager has their own plans. But he scored a couple of goals. His record for Wales, I think, is really good. But when he played for Wales recently, he looked really good in one game. And the second game, they were awful Wales, to be fair. But the second game, he looked really off it. And that's when you need to start playing regularly. And he probably knows that himself.
He looked like a player. He wasn't the only one, but he in particular looked like someone who just hadn't played. And I think he was actually dropped then for the next game, or dropped to the bench. But I think
The away game.
Turkey game was the second one, wasn't it?
Do you know, our mind's gone, but whoever in their group is, they were so poor. Wales yes. that night. They needed to win that. I mean, they probably would be in Turkey at home, I think. Do you know, I can't remember the game, but my mind's gone. But
Someone will remind us now in the comments, I'm sure. But with Kiefer Moore, I think when he's fit, look, he's proven at the Championship level. And I think also he's the perfect profile of striker for what Cardiff City need. Cardiff need someone who they can play off, whether it's Ramsey or Colwell or Robinson just behind. and the wide players. But I think what they're struggling with a lot at the moment is whoever they play up front is not able to hold up the ball and link up play or get in behind. So we never look like scoring a goal, really. And I think it's difficult then, isn't it?
Completely. I mean, you watch the games, the balls just go forward and going back and forward. And also, someone his height will change the way teams play. He obviously, he's not a slouch, but he might not run over the top and beat someone for pace all the time. He can run. He's not slow. But I think defenders they'll defend differently with a striker who is so good in the air, really. You watch, you know, he wins 9 times out of 10 in the air, you'd think, you know. As you said, the knee players running off. I think, to be honest with you, Ramsey is a big miss because, you know, as fans...
He's played nine games, hasn't he?
Yeah, we hardly saw him play. And he looked, you know, after that Swansea game, that was one of his last games, I think, wasn't it? He looked really good. The whole team was excellent that day, and they had Pace, Tanner. You had Boulder was injured, and Boulder, I think Boulder's a really good player.
I agree.
But he doesn't last few 6 weeks, maybe. He's looked a bit off the pace. He looked a bit slow. I mean, you don't know what's going on there, but I think it's a bit of confidence, getting over his injuries, a few things. But they need more pace in that team, Cardiff. They're desperate for a winger in the summer. They try to get a couple of wingers in with more pace. Didn't work out. So I think they'll get a winger, a quick winger in. They'll get a striker in. They'll get a probably 2 midfielders in and a left back. So that's 5. So they might not be 5, but I think they'll be 4. And it is needed for certain. They need freshening up, as we said before. And then you'll see some players go. I think Sawyers will go. Bruno Motor will go. Yeah. A couple of players will go out on loan. Kieran Evans. And then there's obviously the goalkeeper situation. And I think everyone's talked about Runnison before. For me, it hasn't filled me with much confidence. And I'm not the only one, I know. And I feel a lot more comfortable with Alnwick in goal, you know, than him. And if he's not playing, then what's the point of him, you know, what's the point of him being here? But I don't know the terms of the loan. There might be a clause in January where they can recall him or send him if he's not going to play. I don't know the terms regarding him.
I talked recently about the goalkeeper situation at length, as you could imagine, you know, covering Cardiff and stuff like that. It's a hot topic. And it's frustrating because I felt like Alnwick didn't do anything wrong. He was playing really well and then all of a sudden was out with the side and the defence looks more settled. Everything looks a bit more calm and settled when Alnwick's in there. I did wonder whether Runnison has a deal or there's a clause within his deal which maybe says if he hasn't played X amount of games by January, maybe they can recall him. But I mean, to me, I wouldn't be devastated if they sent him back or if Arsenal recalled him. I always thought Danny Ward would be a good option for Cardiff, you know, an experienced goalkeeper who's not really playing with Leicester. Before I get to a couple of the questions from the live chat, Reese has just asked there. He says, as a journalist, have you heard anything in regards to why Alnwick was dropped for Runnison?
No, as I said, I don't actually cover the club any longer. So to get the ins and outs, it's not really something I'd know. From speaking to people who know the club or have you, I feel that, and this is not on anyone, this is not on the manager, I think, and this is not, I'm not saying he was looking for Alnwick to make a mistake or look shaky, but I think he really wanted Runnison to play. And I think when he signed Runnison, I think he saw him as being his number one. Alnwick was excellent in goal. I think the mistake he made was against Watford's, where he just lost the ball. And he's not brilliant with the ball at his feet, Alnwick, but you know, Runnison hasn't impressed me, to be honest, with the ball at his feet. You know, not even this great passer. He doesn't seem a great kicker to me. And I'm old-fashioned, maybe, but I want my goalkeeper to command his box, be a good shot stopper and be vocal. And as you said, defence have confidence. And watching it, it's almost like you're watching between your fingers. And that's maybe harsh to say, but that's just my opinion from seeing the game so far. He's made a couple of good saves, don't get me wrong, but it just doesn't quite look right. I don't know what it is. If you see a goalkeeper like Alnwick, he's 6'3", and listen, he's got his faults, but he looks like he commands his box more, and that's what I think, for me, I feel I'd rather have my goalkeeper do that than someone who can pass the ball 40 yards out of goal to a defender. That's my opinion.
First and foremost, I'm in the same boat as you, really. First and foremost, I want my goalkeeper to be solid, making saves first and foremost, and, you know, working with the defense to keep us as solid as possible. And everybody looks, the fans, the defenders, even Runnison himself, they all look uncomfortable when Runnison's been there. Darren, I'm going to give you a chance to break my heart now. One thing I've talked about a lot recently is I'd like to see Cardiff have a look at trying to get Nico Williams on loan from Forest, because he hasn't played. And obviously, you know, with this big game coming for Wales in March, these players like Nico Williams, Danny Ward, Kiefer Moore, the guys who aren't playing are going to be looking for football this second part of the season. Is there any chance that we might see Nico Williams make a loan move to the Championship?
Forrest is a funny one, because he was out of the picture completely under Steve Cooper. Then he sort of got back in the last sort of month or so, did well. Now Cooper's gone. So, I have no idea. It depends if the manager, Santo, who's appointed today, sees anything he wants to keep him involved. I'd be surprised if he goes on loan. That's my opinion. I'd be surprised if he goes on loan to the Championship. That things can happen. You know, he might want to bring his own people in. Santo's own players, Forest aren't afraid to sign players, that's for certain.
No.
So it happens in January, you really don't. But at the moment, I can't see it happening. Danny Ward would be actually a decent signing. He's good with the ball at his feet and he's a decent goalkeeper. But it comes down to wages again. You've got to get players off the books. You can't just sign anyone.
No, of course.
Decent wage. He's been in the Premier League, obviously. So he's on a decent wage at Leicester. If you think of priorities, goalkeeper really isn't priority. You say yes, I definitely take him and he'd play, be number one probably. But, is it a priority position? No, I think it's getting the players back, like O'Dowda, who's been really missed, O'Dowda, because...
Absolutely.
Players always seem to get better when they're injured. You forget, as always. But I think O'Dowda was, he was quite versatile. He played left back, which might not be his position, but he played left wing back, left back, right mid, left mid, and he was up and down a lot, and he had a lot of energy, and he was a really good sign. It really impressed me last year. So he's been a big loss, actually. So I know people talked about it, but I think underestimated, and how much of a loss he is, along with Ramsey. So,
well, especially with Jamalu Collins potentially going to the African Cup of Nations in January, we are really short in the left back area if he does go. So O'Dowda coming back could be a big boost to that. Although I would like to see O'Dowda on the wing. Ultimately, we've got other choices at winger, but we haven't got many left-backs, any left-backs, really.
One thing for sure. Mm. If you watch NG play left-back, he's not a left-back. He's a right-back, and he's excellent at right-back. And a whole new dimension when he plays at right-back. When he goes off, Birmingham and other games he's not played, they've really missed him. He plays left back. Yeah, you can't switch him. You need a natural left-sided player. So either O'Dowda plays there or they try and sign someone. And I think they obviously are trying to sign someone. But as you said, for me, it's again, as other positions, I feel is more important. And obviously you want that. But you've got O'Dowda there and Collins will be out for a month. But, you've got Bagan, haven't you? He was on loan somewhere else, really. You'd been the one who would have stepped in. So... I'm not sure what they're going to do, but they'll prioritise positions. One will be a goalkeeper, one will be a striker, and one will be attacking midfielder and probably a winger. So that's three positions straight away, and then they'll start probably working their way down.
It'll be interesting who goes, I think. Just before I let you go, mate, I'm just going to throw some questions from the live chat at you. There's a range of questions. Rob says, what's your thoughts on Fabrizio Romano? How do journalists feel about him? Are they a fan of his? Question, that, isn't it?
No, not really. I mean, he's what he does, brilliant connections. He knows a lot of people, clearly, all over, not just in the UK, but all over, fantastic. And he's obviously really well admired by all everyone, really, because anyone who's got those connections, like someone like David Ornstein also is a really good operator. And a lot, anyone who's got these connections in the football world is, you've got to be impressed by it. It's not envy. It's impressive. And I mean, a lot of things, like, I, you know, obviously I don't know him personally, but a lot of things he'll get, you can't report on, like I get. Everyone says, tells you things, and I would love to say things that I've been told about Cardiff and other clubs and certain individuals and play, you know, and managers, but I can't. And to be honest with you, the biggest thing with Twitter is, and I try not to do it, if you do, if you write something and someone doesn't agree with you, if you bite back, it's that we're never going to win. So I need to start learning but not to not to bite back.
Yeah, so, it's the curse of social media, that, isn't it?
Like, yeah, because you defend yourself, end up, and just, you know, you're never going to win. You're never going to win.
Yes. Rhys says, question, how much research goes into transfer rumours before they would get put into print? Or I'll kind of add to that, before you'd put something up on Twitter, is it the same as if you wrote an article where maybe, you know, I think most journalists would try and get it clarified from a couple of sources to make sure it's correct and stuff like that. Is that the same when you would post something to Twitter regarding transfers, or is it a little bit more kind of free?
Yeah, it depends where it's come from and who's told you, really. So you sometimes get, I'll get a message from an agent or a chief executive or something about a player or something, for example, and it depends on if you feel, oh, I'm not sure about that, or previously, or I don't know about that, or I'll check that out, or I'll hold fire on that one. So it just depends, really, how well, you know, sometimes you get players messaging you, you know, I'm not, you know, they'll say, you know, can you do me a favour, I want to get moved to this, you know, it happens all the time. And football, you know, fans, which is rightly, are obsessed almost, I'd say, with transfer rumours of their club, which is great, because to be honest with you, this is what it's all about, isn't it? I mean, it's like growing up, we had no information like this years ago. We had, nope. On deadline day, I remember going back from school when we had CFAX is the only way to find out if someone signs. It was, things have changed so much now. Every 24 hours, instant access. So look, if I'm told something and I think it's true and I believe it's true who it's come from, then I'll, you know, I'll tweet it or I'll do it as a story, what have you. But as I said, not all transfer stories will actually happen. I mean, so many, especially on deadline day, so many deals will fall through for various reasons. So you're told something's happening at 10 o'clock in the morning, and by 6 o'clock in the evening, it's off because another deal's fallen through. The player's wife doesn't want to make the move. The agent's fees aren't enough. There's so many. So deadline day is a nightmare thing. So if you get things on deadline day, it's could change dramatically. And it makes you look like, I suppose, pretty foolish, really, because you say something, you want it to happen, but things just don't happen for various reasons.
I think, like, most people, you know, I'm quite realistic in that, you know, things change, especially around deadline day. And like you said, there's so many variables that go into a deal that it could be all sorts of reasons why something falls through. And it's you kind of have to make the decision as a viewer or someone who's in taking that content and the rumours, is you either could kind of take them with a pinch of salt and accept that, you know, you might be excited about this, but if it doesn't happen, it doesn't happen. Or you kind of just leave it, because I see a lot of angry people on social media, especially Twitter, around transfer deadline day. Like, you'll see fans of all clubs going nuts in the comments of, you know, some of the bigger journalists like you mentioned, Ornstein and Fabrizio Romano and people like that. And even some of, you know, I've seen some of your comments, like, people get really, really angry really, really quickly. And I don't know, it's not my style. Like, I just find it a bit weird. But
yeah, sorry to interrupt. I mean, basically, I'm a prime example for you here, right? So on deadline day, and Birmingham signed Oliver Burke, Ollie Burke, you know, the winger. He isn't a great deal. I got a message the previous night saying he's flying in and they expect to be done the deal in the morning, you know, deal done in the day, later that day, sorry. And then I tweeted that he's flying in, and then I got messages, bombarded by messages from Birmingham fans. And there's a few clubs who really like, who, Derby are one of them, who get really very vocal about their transfers. So Birmingham, all the fans say, not be reported anywhere else, you're talking rubbish. I got, when's it happening, put loads of DMs, loads of messages I try to ignore. And then it went quiet, obviously other things happened, and it went through about 11:30, really late at night. And did I get any messages from any of the fans who were giving me dogs abuse? saying, oh, well, thanks for that. Oh, well done. Not that I want that. I expect it.
No, I know what you mean, though.
Works both ways. So if you get something and it happens, surely you should be saying, oh, cheers for that, or thanks, you know. So it's not what I want that or expect it, but it, you know. So that's why it's such a social media, that's a platform, Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it these days. It's fans do get very worked up of things, but it should work both ways, really. And that's why if things happen or don't happen, it's not, there's various reasons why it hasn't happened.
Yeah, absolutely. I it's funny that there's loads of questions here for you, but I've got to kind of release you, mate. So I will.
Hey, I'm
what are we looking for? It's only because I got a few fans coming on, and then I got Gavin Gordon's coming on later. But a few people saying they'd love to have you back on. I'm, like I say, I'd love to get you back on for a full length podcast, because I find it really interesting, and I'm kind of interested in your story as well. How you kind of got to where you were and stuff. So, you know, maybe we can get you back on at some point and we'll do a full show. Let me pick a question to finish on. There's a good one. Reese's mum, Lorna, says, is there any Cardiff City related gossip that you could share with us to get us excited for transfer deadline day? Put you on the spot, haven't it?
Yeah. I've given it.
Kiefer Moulwen was good.
Kiefer Moore, which everyone knows about. There's a couple of overseas players they're trying to get. The one, the midfielder they're trying to get, I can't say the club. I can't. I'm sorry.
That's okay.
Premier, I can't say it because they'll get me into trouble and the club. But basically they're trying to get a youngish midfielder, I was told. Not, I don't mean a young boy, but a youngish midfielder who's on the fringes of a Premier League team. That's what I was told, and it might not happen. There's other clubs chasing him. That's what I know, and he plays in the Premier League, and he has played this season. And he'd be a good signing, but again, let's see what happens. I think there's got to be some outgoings as well. Before, you know, there were players who could have gone in September. Rinomota was wanted by a few clubs. Rotherham tried to get him. I think the club turned Rotherham down, I think. But then Reading, there are a few League One clubs, and I think he didn't fancy the move, which is fair enough. Sawyers was another one. I think there was offers from abroad as well of him. Avonte Campbell. There's a few players who aren't playing, who aren't going to play pretty much. I know Sawyers came on the weekend, didn't they? But he's not going to figure.
Yeah.
So it's up to them, and you know, it's up to the players. They don't want to go to the, if it's not the right club for them, as you went back on for their personal reasons or family reasons, then they're entitled to stay put, really, and they're under contract. But as long as there are outgoings, then there will be ingoings. That's for certain. Incoming.
So just to round off, let me ask you a kind of follow-up question to that then. With some of the names that you've heard Cardiff being linked with and moving out and things like that, where do you think would be a good finish, or where do you think Cardiff are capable of finishing the second half of the season?
Do you know, you see what's your division this year? It's a better division than last year. It was a terrible division last year, I think. But it's more competitive this year. But there's no teams where you think, oh, you know, apart from the Leicester who run away the league, Ipswich look good, and obviously Leeds. And then you've got the other teams that everyone sees about. West Brom are, you know, relatively strong, and Sunderland, I think, will still be up there. But they're cut and whole. But Cardiff are really in that top 6 to 12 sort of thing, I think, where it could be they could finish 12th or they could finish in the playoffs. Do you know what I mean? I don't think they'll finish too low. But they should be in the top half. It's all about January. It really is. You know, if they sign who they want to sign and they really strengthen, which they should, then I think they'll playoffs are going to get Ramsey back and O'Dowd's back. Because that's two new signings there. They've really got a chance. But they need more definitely going forward. Because at the back, they seem pretty solid. Famous last words. And they lost pretty much. They look pretty solid. They're crying out for a really good ball controlling midfielder. There's no doubt about that.
Absolutely.
But I think a bit more pace out wide, another striker, Ramsey back. I think there's no reason why they shouldn't be pushing, you know, two wins away from getting back in that top 6, aren't they? So that's what it takes in this division, as you know, 2 or 3 wins in a row. And you're right up there. Siopsis also needs a break. So, you know, I think if you look at him, his form's tailed off. I think from reading and watching him the last sort of month, So you know, you can't keep flogging the same players. That's the problem, isn't it, really? These guys, especially him and Gutas, aren't used to playing twice a week or these amounts of and as the pace of the game as well. So,
yeah, it's the level as well, isn't it? The level of the championship, I think, you know, if you played in the second tier of most other countries, you'd probably be, you know, these would be players who'd be able to come in and very, very comfortably play at that level without too much bother. But the championship is so intense. And like you say, it's, you know, Saturday, Wednesday, all season long. And I think Psyopis, like, I agree with you, he's looked very tired, but we haven't really got any type of replacement who can do the same things that he can do because he does it so well. So they need to get a good number. I think, and I'd like to see, ultimately, I'd like to see a good number eight and to play alongside him and kind of interchange with Joe Rawls. And then maybe, like you say, Kiefer Moore. I think Cardiff fans get a bit carried away in terms of how much they think the club's going to spend. Mm-hmm. But to me, I think as long as we can get the right players to strengthen, as long as we're strengthening the first 11, I think we'll be all right. If it's strengthening the kind of squad overall, then I might worry a bit more because I think it's the first 11 that needs strengthening.
Yeah, I think you look at it, I think every fan will see the same thing as us, or most fans. A good centre midfielder, a good pacey winger down the left or the right, and another striker. And then, you know, that's three really key positions, personally, I think, which will make a huge difference. And then you've got enough players there who have shown the season that they've got about something about them. I do wonder about Robinson, what's going to happen with him. I've got a sneaky feeling something might be happening with him.
Interesting.
I wouldn't rule it out him leaving in January.
That's interesting to me because I think in amongst this poor form of the last sort of month or so, I think one of the players who's actually looked a bit better and looks like he might be finding his feet is Reuben Caldwell. And I think if Robinson was to leave, that obviously would open up that number 10 position further for Caldwell to try and make it his own when Ramsey's not there. And I just think Caldwell offers something just a bit different. He's a big, big boy, just slightly different to your stereotypical sort of number 10 attacking midfielder, if you like. So that's good. That's an interesting little tidbit to wear.
Yeah, I just something I've heard, and we'll see what happens. And they might decide to keep him. But if he does go, it wouldn't come as a huge shock to me because he's on relatively decent wages. He doesn't seem to be massively favoured by the manager, who sort of in and out the tides. I don't think he knows his best position. I don't think he seems to know. He played up front last year.
He's the best finisher at the club as well. Sorry to interrupt you. I think that's the thing.
He used to play where, you know, where Bowler plays all on the left, pretty much a lot for West Brom, where Grant's playing now. Grant hasn't, for me, everyone sort of talks about him and he works hard, but he needs to score more goals for me. And do more in games. He scored one goal, I think, isn't he, Grant? Two goals, sorry.
Yeah, he scored one recently, but I think that's not much more than that.
Yeah, so two goals. I like Robinson, actually. I think he's a good player. I know he's had a lot of injury problems, but I wouldn't surprise me if he goes in January and they get another player in that position.
Yeah, indeed, mate. Listen, Darren, it's been an absolute pleasure to talk to you, my friend. I'd really like to get you back on the channel again soon. If that sounds good to you. I know you're going to have a very busy, obviously, Christmas and then January, but I appreciate you joining me. I've got ex-Cardiff City striker Gavin Gordon waiting in the wings as well. So I've got a busy show this evening. But Darren, it's been a pleasure, my friend. Thank you very much. And I will speak to you soon. I'll drop you a message and see if we can sort out having you back on for a full show.
Okay, great. Thanks for having us.
Thank you for your time, mate. Cheers.
Bye.
Bye. Darren Whitcock, big thanks to him. Really nice to speak to Darren. And I love getting a bit of an insight into transfers. And obviously, Darren's got to be careful with what he's saying and whatnot. It's interesting to me, though, that just as he was leaving then, he slipped in that little thing about Robinson. After being very clever about, or not very clever, but, you know, very, very careful not to say things that he shouldn't and stuff like that. That's interesting to me that he might go in January, but obviously we'll see how things develop. We've got a few fans lined up, but before we bring in the fans to talk Cardiff City, I'm delighted to bring ex-Cardiff City striker, Mr. Gavin Gordon, into the show. Evening, Gav. How are you, my friends?
Not too bad, thank you. All right, can you hear me?
Yeah, man. All good, mate. I appreciate you joining us, mate, and having a quick chat.
No, you're welcome. I'm glad to come on board and see what everyone's talking about now.
See what we're saying. Yeah, so we've been talking like transfers and stuff with Darren for the last 40 minutes or so, which was kind of interesting because I think particularly in the EFL, but he hears a lot of stuff about Cardiff and whatnot. So kind of hearing potential sign-ins, like, you know, Kiefer Moore is like the worst kept secret in the country at the moment, I think, in terms of him coming to Cardiff. But I'm really interested in how you think Cardiff season's gone so far, because obviously started well, the form's dropped a little bit in the last month, but what do you make of sort of their performance as it is, should I say?
Pretty much as you've said, really. Looking at the, because I'm looking from afar, really. So all I can do is really catch up on like your highlights and stuff. So from the sort of games what I've seen, like say little things like straight balls are going straight through, and then it's like one pass, and then the opposition are in. So it looks like at the moment the confidence is down, up front and at the back. So it looks like throughout the side, the confidence is not quite there. So you can see that Cardiff are in a bit of a lull. Started off well, scoring your goals, but like I say, the last 5-6 games, I think they've only scored like not many at all, have they? And conceded, I think about 7, I think it was like that. So that seems to be the problem. So if we can shut up shop a little bit, probably grind out a few results while you're not playing too well, and then that will kick start, hopefully coincides with getting some new players, get some impetus back into the side, and maybe kicking on again for another them little blocks of winning games or not losing. But it seems to be more of a winning or lose rather than drawing for Cardiff. Maybe at this point here, you might need some results where you can, like I said, literally just grind out a result, get that confidence back, and then because you've got potential to score goals. So new signings and, like I say, Kiefer Moore could be a good one to then kick on with.
Yeah, I think fresh legs will be massive. Like, they've looked tired over the last month. And like Darren just mentioned there, like, the Championship is so intense, like week in, week out, Saturday, Wednesday. But it's not just the amount of games, it's the quality and the intensity that you have to have, you know. And I think people forget that Cardiff, particularly, you know, the last two seasons, we've only just avoided relegation. And so to be in the top half coming into Christmas is massive. And I think if you had offered that to everyone in the summer, everyone would have been snapping your hand off for it. But because we started so well, and particularly around the time of the Swansea game, some of those performances were real top notch, like the goals, the way that they so comfortable on the ball, the interchanging, the movement off the ball, some of those things have kind of stopped. So now particularly the last couple of games, we've had the possession type of football, but we haven't had the movement off the ball. So people feel like, so I've seen on a lot of forums, people moaning about possession football and blah, blah, blah. But like, I mean, you would know more than me, but I would say possession football is fine if it's with a purpose where you're trying to draw the press on and then you play over it or through it or whatnot. But when there's no movement ahead of you, or there's people not showing for the ball and wanting the ball, taking responsibility to give me the ball and keep it moving, it becomes a bit sideways and a bit backwards. And I think there could be many aspects to why that is, tiredness and stuff. But have you been surprised by not just how Cardiff have, you know, improved in terms of league position, but the change in the way we play football? Because we have gone from long ball football to possession football, I guess.
Yeah, definitely. But that, I say, once you get a manager who's got a set way of wanting to play, and then getting the players to do so, it creates what you see on the pitch. Yes, I understand what you mean by the possession football, because sometimes, especially recently, you've got coaches now where everyone pretty much coaches the same football. So you'll have it, we'll have it, you'll have it, we'll have it. And it's just keep ball and you get the players behind the ball and then that's it. If there's no movement, like you said, if there's no thought of beating the press or playing through the press, looking for that movement, if you haven't got the movement, then that is where the problem lies. And then you start watching it and you sort of get bored with it and you go, well, you're not doing anything with it.
Yeah.
And then that's when you can hear the fans start having
growing
a go.
And yeah.
And see why they're doing it. Because even when I'm watching certain games, if it's just literally you have it, we have it, and there's no tackles, there's no nothing going in, it's not the best games to watch. So, yeah, if you can, like I said, has the dip in form also coincided with injuries as well? So that could upset the side and everything like that. So yeah, throughout the season, you're going to get highs and lows. You can't really stay up the high all the time. Perfect world, you would be. But from where Cardiff have come from, like you said, battling relegation pretty much the last two seasons to doing what they've done now, sitting halfway, not too far off the playoffs, but you're also not too far off the bottom. A run of games puts you up there, and I think Cardiff have got that squad to do so. But it's all about having the confidence, and surely enough, like say, fresh faces, a little bit of impetus at the end of the game, and then at the start of the new year, people coming in. Yeah, you should be able to get the injuries back. Everything should be rosy for Cardiff, I think, as long as they stay positive and work to what they've done previous, and especially at the beginning of the season.
Yeah, it's a funny one, isn't it? Because, like, I've been to a few games this year, like, and the fans, particularly the last month, like the Birmingham game, like it was a midweek game, there wasn't a massive crowd, but the moaning and the groaning and the anxiety, you could feel it going onto the players very early on, even before Birmingham scored. And there was a bit of frustration. And for me, like I look at it, I said to someone earlier, one of my friends, like, I really feel like the Cardiff fans need to get behind the players now over Christmas, because we all know they're a bit tired and they're going to play a lot of games in a small space of time. They've got to play Leicester. They got Sheffield Wednesday, Plymouth. Like, they've got some big games. And if we can just grind out as many points as possible over Christmas, you can kind of go into January a bit positive and go, right, get some players in. You know, if you bring in a Kiefer Moore, that gives everybody a lift straight away. If Aaron Ramsey comes back fitness, everyone gets a lift, O'Dowda. And I just think sometimes fans... Look, it's, of course, as the season started so well, you know, we beat Swansea in the manner that we beat Swansea. Of course, your expectations change. I understand that. It's just a human nature, and that your expectations change from the start of the season. But also, I think sometimes you just need to take a breath and be realistic. Like, the side is made up of frees and loans, which is essentially players who aren't wanted by other clubs. So if you've got a team of those players, they're probably not wanted by other clubs for one of two reasons. Either they're not quite good enough, or they're not consistent enough. And I think when you put those two things together, then you're going to have what you have at Cardiff, where we had a good spell, a bad spell, a good spell, a bad spell, and now we're in a bad spell. And you need the fans to really switch on. As a player, mate, how much did... I'm sure there would have been games where you played in your career where fans get frustrated or anxious, or, and you hear the moans and the groans and the things like that. Like, how much does that affect players, certain players? I mean, some players might not, but some players do. Like, what was your experience of it?
Yeah, I can go with mine. And if it's a personal one where you know you're not playing well. You not hit the forms, so you can understand the reasons why the fans may start showing their discontent and making it aware of that they're not happy. Me personally, I would look to sort of prove them wrong.
Yeah.
So I use it as a positive rather than a negative. Like I say, I think I had a spell at Lincoln where when I got brought in, I was following somebody else who was scoring other goals and doing this, but I was only just coming at 18-year-old, 19. And because I wasn't that same player, I was in towards the beginning, I was getting booed. And then at the end of my time at Lincoln, they were saying, don't go.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
So that's the sort of thing. That's my reaction. I thought, right, okay, well, I'll just show whatever qualities I've got. If it's good enough, then I'll make sure I can show it. And I did in the end, and it proved that I was right. So, no, that, when you're in a, like say, it's just when the team's in a bit of a bad form, you that's where you get to hear all the moans and groans, and players look at themselves as well, and we call each other out. If it's not happening, we will tell each other that it's not. Come on, we need to start going, or we need to roll our sleeves up and pull out results. Form will change. Form, that's what form does. That's what the nature of football. You hit form and you drop out of form. It's but how consistent can you stay when you are winning or you when doing well, or when you're bad, how consistent can you sort of stay in that and not drop too much or not go too high? So, yeah, no, I think the players know. I think the staff know. I think the whole club do. They know they're in that little drop. They probably have plans, and they're probably waiting for the window to open to change things. And like you said, get the people back, because they've got the squad to do that. They showed if the team's on form, and like I said, the players are not probably used to playing regular football, so you are going to get them injuries as well. So give them that opportunity to go, right, okay, no, I know what other clubs you may have been taken out. We're going to give you the opportunity to prove yourself here. Show them, show everybody what you can do and why you belong in the Championship or higher. So I think that's what the coaching staff and the management have to sort of give the players, push them. Say, look, do you want to better yourself? How far do you want to go? And while you're pushing yourself, you're taking the club with them. So that's all they can do, really. Just give them the confidence to go out there and try and perform, even though you're not playing well. The least you can do is work hard, and then everybody will forgive the odd pass there and odd bad pass here and there. You work hard, people forgive you.
Interesting question that I just saw from Reece. He says, obviously we just had Darren on, who talked a lot about transfers and stuff. He said, how do transfers work, Gav? If you're asked to talk to a club that you don't want to sign for, can you just say no, thank you, or do you feel that you've got no choice?
I think it depends on what situation is. A couple of times I've spoken to clubs, it's because the club I'm at is in financial problems. So it's more likely that they're wanting you to go because it will help with the club. If it's not a financial thing and the club just wants to get rid of you, if you stay, you got the opportunity to speak to the club. If you stay, what does that bring? Are you going to fight for your place back into that? You're going to change your manager's mind?
Yeah, of course.
Or if you stay and then you don't change his mind, you've blocked yourself from football for the rest of that season, kind of thing, because he's just going to alienate you and put you out.
Do you think that, like in most cases, if a club allows or says, you know, we've had a bid for you from whoever, in most cases, players will just talk to the club because...
Yeah, I think out of courtesy,
Once they accept a bid as well,
that's
effectively saying that they're happy for you to go as well, isn't it?
Basically, they're telling
one way or the other.
Yeah, they don't want you or they need you to go. one of the two. So if it's the one where they don't want you, I will speak to the club. But if it's not the right move, it's not the right move.
Yeah, you shouldn't be forced into it, should you? At the end of the day, particularly for players who've got, you know, kids and family. Like I often think about that. Like, you shouldn't be sort of forced by a club to move from, you know, from Cardiff up to Newcastle or something if you don't want it, or if it's not right for you and your family, because that has a massive impact on your day-to-day life, your family life, your wife, your whatever, kids and stuff. It's always interesting, mate. Listen, Gav, we've only got a little bit of time today. I appreciate you massively for coming in, joining me and stuff. We'll definitely be doing some stuff next year, I'm sure. And we'll definitely be chatting again very soon. Have a wicked Christmas, mate. And I'll speak to you over the, you know, New Year, Christmas, all that. But you have a wicked time, my friend.
Yeah, and the same to you too. And all the best with the time over Christmas.
That's my friend. Take it easy, friend. See you soon. Gavin Gordon, absolute legend. I love that man. He's so cool. And he's always an absolute gentleman. And he always replies to my messages, which is, well, you know, what's not to like? He's a good guy, Gavin. I've got so much time for him. And I'm delighted to be joined by the final guest of the evening. I've had to listen to this, right? Because of you, Rob, and it's all your fault, I have had to bump Matthew Angel off the list.
Don't you dare give me that. Unreal, mate.
The ego on you, right? So I said to Matt, I said, Matt, listen, right? You know, things have pushed on a little bit. And he said, oh, it's okay, mate, whatever. And you're like, I'm on at 9 o'clock, mate. If I'm not on at 9, then I ain't coming on. The ego, mate. Unbelievable.
I'm not on big time. I'm not that big time yet, mate.
Right. Listen to me, my friend, right? Talk to me about the negativity that's floating around some of these groups and forums. And I even saw someone saying that if we lose to Leicester and Plymouth or something, the manager should go. And I was like, what is going on?
Mate, you might be in some of the same ones I'm in. And
insane, mate, that, isn't it?
It's just like, they're already planning the next replacement, according to some of them. Like, they don't realise where he would be if it weren't for him. Like, take his management style out of it, and take his management out of it in its entirety. Could you imagine where he would be if it weren't for Gutas and Seal? Yeah, Seal has had a massive dip in form because he's knackered.
Still one of the best players, though.
Oh, mate, could you imagine where we would be without those two? Like, and if we had to play Ebu Adams and Panzo, whatever his name is, for the season so far, like, we would literally be up shit creek without a shadow of a doubt.
Mate, it's wild. Let me just on the Psyopis win, right? Because I've seen a few people mention, like, he has had a dip in form. I actually thought he was a bit better against Birmingham. But you know what, right? The one thing which I'll say about the Birmingham game and even the whole game as well, right, is him and Colwell, they always won the ball. They don't hide. No matter what a score was, they're moving, they're coming, they're showing, they won the ball. And actually, Colwell ended up being forced to come deeper because whoever was playing next to Psyopis wasn't getting the ball to him where he needed it, so he had to come and get it. And I just, like, I saw a lot of people saying Psyopis is, you know, he's tired, he's this, like, he always wants the ball and he always tries to keep the ball moving, or he'll try and switch it or use it. Without him, we'd be really struggling, mate, I gotta say. And like, even the Runnison thing, right? Like, I understand everybody, every man and their dog would prefer to have Alnwick out of the two playing. But if you think, right, that booing or groaning and moaning every time Runnison does something is going to suddenly make him feel better or play better, I really don't know what to tell you. Like it's just going to make him more nervous and more apprehensive. And the thing is, right, just lastly, is I think sometimes in 2024, not just Cardiff fans generally, I think they forget what their role is. like your fans. So support your team and stop moaning, because with the last two seasons in Cardiff's case, we've been fighting relegation. We're going into Christmas. We're comfortable. Yes, we could get dragged into it if the bad form continues, but we could also be in the playoffs if we get a couple of wins together. So get behind the team and lift them through this difficult period. That's what you're supposed to, that's your job. Anyway, rant over, mate. What do
no,
you think?
But you're absolutely right, mate. And, you know, it's the... A lot of people in the comments probably vote for it. It's the self-entitled, this might irk a few people, but old generation fans who think because I've been following Cardiff since 1654, I got an entitlement to boo players when I feel fit to, like, and it's just, well, congratulations for being older than us. You know, it doesn't give you more of a prestige than somebody of a younger age just because you're older. Like, and it does my head in, like, these forums do my tit in, like, and proper stress me out. And like, people just need to chill, fudge out, like, and just calm down and just appreciate where the hell we are compared to where the bloody hell we was. Yes, it's been shit the last few weeks, you know, no one's denying that. But I think to see how we go now in January, and, you know, listen to Darren, who I think is bloody awesome, by the way. I've been listening to him for ages, and I hope you get him on for a full hour or something, because I got so many mega questions for him. I think that...
I thought that was a bit of a coup getting him on, mate.
Mate's class. Honest to God, I was literally...
He's the main man for Cardiff transfers on Twitter. Like, no one else gets what he does. I got another one in my back pocket as well, then.
Was absolutely brilliant. And
he's a nice guy.
He mentioned that he's not overly involved in Cardiff anymore, but it was just wicked to hear, like, a different standpoint from football. Like, you've had a lot of ex-pros on and things like that, and current pros on over the years, which has been amazing. But it's lush to hear from and obviously you've had fans on, like, such as myself, but it's lush to hear from a different dimension again as a journalist, to how they tick and things like that. I think it's awesome, but do you know what? I'd love it if you get him on for a proper show.
I think I'd get him on in January, mate. Speaking of January, it's almost that time of year, isn't it?
What have we got?
Well, you know, certain people come and do stuff once a year, now and again, don't they?
I thought you were going to drop a nugget for us then, if it was next on a live show.
Well, you've got to work it out, mate, don't you? You've got to work out the code. I'm not telling because I haven't confirmed it 100% yet, but people will be able to work it out. Sometimes people come on once a year. That's all I'll say.
Who comes once a year? Me.
No. Well, if you think, like, of all the Cardiff City related as well, like, there's certain person who has only ever really come on, like, once a year. But so this week I got probably dropping tomorrow if I can edit it in time, the Cardiff City versus Sheffield Wednesday preview, which will be good. We got Rodri Giggs live on football tomorrow talking football, but and Cardiff City World coming soon. That's going to be fun. It's going to be really interesting. I might drop the Chopra interview on that. Rob's just left.
No, you just paid me off.
He just got bored of you. So obviously I'm going to put the Chopra two-part podcast up after Christmas. I'm toying with the idea of making that the first video on Cardiff City World, which if you haven't already, go subscribe Cardiff City World on YouTube. It's basically just because a few people were asking questions about it. It's basically I'm just going to move all the Cardiff content onto his own channel. Like the Cardiff City will be the Cardiff every week. You'll have Cardiff City fan show podcast. You'll have the any sort of interviews or stuff with Cardiff City ex-players and that. You'll have the previews, match reactions, scout reports, tactical, like it'll just be a Cardiff City channel. And then Rodri Giggs, all the other podcasts and stuff, My Story, Mental Health in Sport, all that, will be on Ace Podcast Nation as usual. So no change, really. It's just all the Cardiff City stuff will be in one place. So
it's so you've organised desktop, basically.
Yeah, but I got it. It's quite scary, though, mate, because obviously, like, Ace Podcast Nation got about 30,000 subscribers and followers over the different platforms. And then suddenly I got to start again from zero. Although it's not on zero because Reese has already subscribed. So I think I got one subscriber. But I haven't really told anyone other than a couple of people. Like, so, but that's the plan. Cardiff City World, streamline all the Cardiff content. And hopefully people, the thousands of people who bloody watch the Cardiff stuff will go and subscribe over there. That'd be nice.
Any news on the non-Cardiff shows?
Non-Cardiff shows, well.
Like, forgive me, I forgot his freaking name already. The Monday show used to do.
Oh, with Campbell.
No, not Campbell. Non-Cardiff, non-football.
Non-Cardiff, non-football. Boy, Reese.
Yeah.
The members show, you mean?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'll be coming back now. Patreon.com/AcePodcastNation. Yeah, he's good, mate. He's fine. Probably start again back after Christmas with that one. So we have patreon.com/AcePodcastNation. Price of a bag of chips to join. You get exclusive content, weekly podcasts, and you get 24 hours early access to tickets for any live events, which may or may not be coming up in the first week of February. And, you know, you'll see what happens, like, you know. Matthew Angel subscribed to Cardiff City World. Well done, Matthew. There you go. After he was bumped as well off the fan show.
Booted
off. Didn't he give you a lift everywhere as well? God, the rudeness of you. The ego, the rudeness. I just can't believe it. I'm shocked.
You're not really shocked, are you? Let's be honest.
No. I've seen the way you act when you're in public. Just bumping people out the way, saying, do you know who I am? Don't you know who I am?
Mr. Flower.
What do you think of Darren just slipping in as he was leaving?
Yeah.
That Callum Robinson might be on his way out of Cardiff City in January. Were you surprised by that?
That was a naughty little Easter egg from the leave, wasn't it?
Were you surprised by it, though?
No.
I was surprised when he said it. And then as he sort of talked and then as Gavin was talking, it makes sense to me.
Yeah, I mean, how much is he probably on? He's got to be on a good 20, 30 grand a week, haven't he?
Yeah, I reckon he's on at least 20. And I'm guessing, like, you know, but...
Would you reckon he'll go?
Good job. Oh, mate, he could go, like, anywhere in the Championship and do a job. And I wonder if he's not a bit pissed off because I don't think he's playing in his favourite position. Like, I think he prefers to play up front or off the left. So he's playing in this, like, number 10, which I don't necessarily think suits him. And I think... Like I've said all season, I think he should be playing up front, like, because I think having a striker who could run in behind would massively benefit the wingers and the number 10. But they just haven't played him there all year.
Well, it's the Brem, isn't it, who's got Stansfield at the moment.
Yeah.
Apparently.
Have a look now.
He's on his way to Ipswich.
Who's Stansfield?
Yeah.
What a story that lad's got, man. I tell you what.
Oh, when he scored,
like, he signed for his dad's ex-team. Obviously, his dad passed away, didn't he?
Yeah.
He signed for his dad's ex-team, took his number, scored, like, a winner on his debut or something. And, yeah, just
brilliant.
Got this incredible story. Mate. But he used to look really good for Birmingham.
Apparently Ipswich are after him.
That's an interesting one. Do you know why? Yeah. Robinson might go to
him, apparently. But having said that, though, I'm sure he's just on loan at Birmingham. I'm sure he's contracted.
Do you know who I think would be a good move if Robinson's going to go, which I don't necessarily think he should. I don't think we should let him go in January unless we're going to replace him. Although I wouldn't be disappointed if they got rid of him and then brought in like a Nico Williams who can play all at this one side. Like I would sacrifice Robinson for that, if that makes sense. Like if you're saying to me, right, Robinson's on 25 grand a week, we're going to sell him and we're going to bring Nico Williams on loan and that 25 grand is going to go to his wage, then I'd probably take that because Colwell can play 10. Maytay can play 10. They're going to try and sign someone else as well, like a central midfielder. Rambo will be back. So, I don't know, mate. Yeah, it's a tricky one.
The more you divulge into it, the more it makes sense that he does. Yeah.
No, it looks like he plays for Birmingham, mate. Adam Stansfield.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know
okay.
who I think would be a good move for Robinson is Blackburn, mate.
Yeah,
they could do with that type of player, and I just got a feeling, mate, that might have a bit of legs to it because he fell out with the manager. He's lost his place in the starting lineup now, just before January. He obviously, like I said, fell out with the manager. His wages are high. Rambo's going to be back after Christmas. Like it all kind of fits together. That makes sense. Personally, I'd keep him till the summer and then sell him because I think we don't want to leave ourselves short. But yeah. It all depends. It depends. No, you are right, mate. He's on loan from Fulham.
Fulham, yeah. Yeah. So I don't know whether they're going to look at bringing it back early and Fulham selling outright or what. But I wouldn't be surprised if it's a chain reaction. And he goes to Ipswich on a permanent deal. And Wazza comes in and goes for Robinson. Wouldn't be surprised.
Yeah.
Similar sort of positions. Stans has obviously got a lot more legs in him than Robbo. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's a bit reaction there.
Yeah, I could see that. What's interesting to me is if you're saying to me, right, Robinson is only going to play number 10 for us, then I would let him go because in the number 10 position, I think I personally would rather, I think Colwell does more for what I'd be looking for my number 10. If he was going to play off the wide left, then I'd probably keep him. And if he was going to play up front, I'd probably keep him. Because I think up front, he's better than all the strikers at finishing. I think he could be... Right, so say O'Dowda is going to be left back for the second part of the season now because Collins is going to the AFCON. If O'Dowda is going to play left back, then I'd keep Robinson and play him off the left or compete with Carl and Grant for the left-hand side. But I just... Yeah, because I don't see the point in having Ramsey, Colwell and Robinson if they're all competing for one place. And I know people will disagree with me and say that Colwell hasn't proven himself or this and that and the other, but I think he's shown enough when he's given the chance. If he had a striker particularly in front of him, I think he offers more than Robinson in terms of creativity.
Yeah, and I think he offers more than Carl and Grant as well as a wing option because, I've been quite vocal about my Carl thoughts and Grant.
Doesn't create enough, mate, is the problem.
He's, like I've said a number of times, he's all fart, no poo.
I understand why he plays though, mate, because... He works so hard to protect Collins that you need it. But I just hope they've got a clause in Ugbo's contract that allow us to send him back. Because they just don't see the point. I don't see the point.
Agreed.
That's a good shout, mind. Reese just said Huddersfield, QPR, and Sheffield Wednesday all need a finisher. I could see Sheffield Wednesday signing Robinson and playing him up front. That would be a good move. But then, if we played him up front, I think we'd get more out of him, which is a bit frustrating. But for whatever reason, they've seemed to have changed.
That would surprise me.
They've changed their thought process on him this year, where the new managers come in, and they clearly do not view him as a like a number nine. They view him as a someone who plays a bit deeper and creates. But I don't see that with him, I've got to be honest. I think he's an out-and-out striker or forward, like left side. But I just don't think he's someone... Like, to me, a number 10 is someone who takes up the, you know, the role between midfield and attack, doesn't do a lot of defensive work, and is literally there just to create, just to try and create or score himself. And too often, I think with Robinson in that position, he doesn't really create a lot, but also kind of is a bit like, I don't know what the word is. Like, I just don't see it. Oh, it's just been invaded.
Yeah. No, you're actually right, Si. And I just think, I do wonder, I you know, how many goals would he have got if he was the big dog up front? How many goals would he have got if he was the big number nine up front?
Yeah, like a couple of times where Colwell got a ball in that sort of number 10 position, he had the opportunity to sort of to slip it in behind, and there was no striker running in behind. So it was really frustrating. Against Birmingham, like, Colwell's driving with a ball, and he just had to, like, put it into the space behind. But there was, I think it was Ugbo, was, like, running the other way towards the left back. And it was like, what are you doing? You need to be going in behind. Uma, can I help you? My kittens are just invaded the room. It's fine, I'm finishing now. Just out, please. Aiden, don't, because you'll knock your the camera over, mate. Just leave her. She's fine. Right. Rob, as always, mate, it's a pleasure. Guys and girls, as always, appreciate you tuning in. Comments and stuff like that. We'll be back tomorrow with Roger Giggs and football. And, of course, the Cardiff City Fan Show will be back over Christmas. So look out for that, because you never know who's going to jump in and chat to us. Today we had Darren Wickup. Thank you to him for joining us. And, of course, thank you to ex-Cardiff City striker Gavin Gordon. Nearly had another ex-Cardiff City player on tonight, but he was out with his wife, so he couldn't come on.
Selfish bastard.
Well, he scored a brilliant goal to beat a famous team once upon a time. As always, no one's guessed the January guest who comes on once a year. I'm sure it'll dawn on one of you soon enough. But until then, you take care. Have a good Christmas. If you don't tune in tomorrow. But if you don't tune in tomorrow, I don't know what you're doing. See you later.
Peace out.
Sports Social Podcast Network.